As I was reading Paul the Apostle and the heart of Paul as he was now departing from Europe and he's up in that area where now he's coming to Turkey, and he's there about 30 miles from the church of Ephesus, and from the port of Ephesus he calls all the elders of the church to come. And Paul, behind his mind, he knows that the Spirit of God has been warning him over and over that he's going to be killed sooner or later, that his time is short. But you know what's amazing about Paul the Apostle? And I am looking forward to meet Paul. Because Paul's heart was people, souls, the lost, those that did not know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. You will hear in his speech tonight, not a sermon, but a speech that he brings forth to these elders as he shares with them concerning the time that Paul was living and the time that they were living under. The personal testimony that he gives to them concerning Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of his own personal life. But here we have Paul's view of the ministry, what the ministry is all about. Why don't you turn with me to the book of Acts chapter 20, beginning with verse 17. We'll pick up where we left off 2 weeks ago. Acts chapter 20, beginning with verse 17. He says, "Now from Miletus he sent to Ephesus, and he called for the elders of the church." Now, I told you 2 weeks ago that the church of Ephesus, which means desired ones, in the book of Acts chapter 19, when Paul came to the city of Ephesus, one of the most beautiful cities you have ever seen in your life. But it's pretty amazing because there, Paul came and found 12 men. They were disciples of John the Baptist, and all they had heard was the teaching of baptism. Nothing else. And so when Paul came to Ephesus, he noticed that there was something wrong with them. Not that they were not saved, but there was a lack of power in their lives. And Paul the Apostle asked them and said, "Hey, have you guys heard of the Holy Spirit?" And they said, "Nope, we don't know. We don't even know who the Holy Spirit is." And then Paul, with passion, began to share with them concerning the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says that he lay hands on them, and they were baptized with the Holy Spirit, and the power of God came upon them. And then he expounded to them further the kingdom and the gospel of Jesus Christ to them. At that particular moment, when the Holy Spirit came to the 12 men, the church of Jesus Christ began to receive revival. And we know that in John's letter to the book of Revelation, in chapter 2, verses 1 to 7, from actually Acts chapter 19 to Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 to 7, in a 30-year period of time, from going into the movement of God and revival with the people of God, the church had become almost dead. They had left their first love. Their passion for God was gone. And you know, to me, it's amazing when I travel to Eastern Europe because you can see how communism killed the people. Communism, 10 years ago, killed the people's spirit. And now that communism has been taken out of the way and the West has come in, you can also see how Satan comes in like a flood and begins to pollute the people's minds and their hearts to keep them away from hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And yet that even challenges me even more and more to bring the gospel to these people. Because when you're standing in this place called Budapest, and you're looking out to all these people, just like if we would go down to, you know, New York City or Chicago or San Francisco or Los Angeles, and you see hundreds and millions of people on the streets walking as if they have no guidance. One thing I see in their hearts is that every one of them that doesn't know Christ is lost and is on his way or her way to hell. And we have a responsibility to tell people about Jesus Christ. You're going to hear it from Paul tonight. Not only from Paul the Apostle, but Paul got it from Ezekiel. As Ezekiel in chapter 3, chapter 18, chapter 33, began to pour his heart out, and God made Ezekiel accountable as a watchman of God, as he had the accountability and the stability to share with the people of God concerning God himself. And God said, if you tell them, I won't hold you guilty for their blood. But if you don't tell them and they die without hearing about me, then I will hold you accountable for their blood. And Paul's going to tell you that tonight, that we are accountable. We might not think we're not. We are accountable for our loved ones, our friends, and our enemies when it comes to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so Paul now begins to give kind of like a speech. In verse 18, look what he says. He says that when they had come together to Paul, he said unto them, you know that from the first day that I came to Asia, in what manner I always lived among you. Paul begins to remind them of his integrity. His integrity. His love. His compassion that he had for them. Paul wants to remind them that he never took anything from them and he never asked anything from them, but Paul gave himself to them and he brought them the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because he loved them. Because he loved them. Because he did not want to see them in hell. And so Paul is reminding them how his love for them and how he is there because of the love of Christ in his own heart for them individually. And then this is what's beautiful in verse 19. Paul begins to unfold his fourfold ministry to them. Fourfold ministry in verse 19. Number one, he says, I want you to know that when I came to you, I came serving the Lord with all humility and with many tears and trials which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews. Paul is telling them, hey, it's not easy to be in the ministry. It's not easy to preach the gospel. Why? Because people don't want to hear the gospel. And sometimes people get angry and people retaliate and people get angry. And Paul had experienced beatings and almost died three times because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But that didn't bother Paul. Because Paul was totally sold out to Jesus Christ. And the Lord had forewarned him that he was going to be prosecuted, he was going to be persecuted, and eventually he would be beheaded and he will lay down his life for Jesus Christ. Just like you and I one day are going to die and go to be in heaven with the Lord. There may be some of us in the future to come that may die as martyrs in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because we've taken the gospel to a world that is very aggressive, very anti-Christ, and very resentful, especially towards Christians that are sharing about the love of Jesus Christ. And to me, Paul is literally here pouring out his heart to us tonight. Because this is, first of all, in the kind of manner that you and I are supposed to be serving the Lord. Serving him. Serving him because we want to. Not because we have to. We're not being forced to serve the Lord. I think that's a beautiful thing. That the word servant here literally means a doulos. Or that is, I serve him because I love him. I don't do it because I'm getting paid for it. I would do it for free if I have to do it for free. And that's a good thing to know. That when God calls you and he anoints you and he burns in your heart, you know, that passion for people to be saved, there is nothing in this world, not your wife, not your husband, not your children, not anybody that can actually keep you from going and taking the gospel of Jesus Christ to a needy, lost world that Satan is actually trying to kill.
That's Satan's whole challenge, is to kill the world and to take them with himself to hell. And yet Paul says, you know what, you guys, my ministry, first of all, is towards God, and that is serving God, not men. That should be our attitude. We should not serve because we want recognition or because we want people to applaud us, but we should serve the Lord because we love him. We love him. He loves us. And as I serve him, I don't really care what people think about me, but I surely don't want to please men, but I want to please my Lord. Recognizing that one day I'm going to die and I'm going to stand in judgment before God, and he is going to judge my life. I'm going to give an answer to God. That's what counts. That what I'm doing is with a pure motive. That I'm not doing it to rip people off. And that I'm not doing it to get a name or to become famous, but to stretch out the kingdom of God, that people may be saved and that people will take the gospel to other people. The sheep beget the sheep, and the sheep beget the sheep. That was Paul's motive, serving Jesus Christ. Secondly, he was serving not only Jesus Christ, but he was what? Serving with the attitude of humility. Not in pride, like the devil, but totally humble before God and before man. I mean, Paul could have become a big shot, you know. He was pretty famous. And yet Paul never looked for a platform for himself or a place where Paul would be recognized as some kind of an apostle or disciple of Jesus Christ. But Paul was constantly pointing to the cross of Jesus Christ. If you know Paul and his writings, he always speaks about the cross of Jesus Christ. Paul was a very humble person in the kingdom of God. And what's so neat, look what he says here, not only in humility serving the Lord, but how about you? How about me? When is the last time you did not put a show on, but literally, out of passion and compassion, you started weeping because you know that your mother and your father and your brothers and sisters and your whole family and friends are not saved. Are not saved. Paul blows my mind because he says, not only did I serve the Lord with all humility, but with many tears. Many tears. It was so hard for me to leave those people that I just met for the first time. They knew me because of my movie. It's all over Europe. But I did not know them. And when I came there, it was so incredible to come, to have these people come up to me, so humiliating to say, hey, we watch your life story, and your life story has touched my life. And we could not help to sit there together and to weep together because of the love of Jesus Christ that he has for us. Miles and miles apart, and yet we are brothers and sisters in the Lord. And these people that are there in the Soviet Union and all over Eastern Europe have suffered tremendously. And they continue to suffer for the gospel of Jesus Christ, but yet they're totally sold out for Christ. Totally sold out to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet when I thought of Paul serving in all humility and with many tears, Paul literally cried because there were three things in his life. Number one, he cried because of those Jews that were constantly plotting to come and kill him. They were harassing Paul all the time. He wept for them because he wanted to see them saved. Secondly, Paul wept because of the carnality that he saw in the church of Corinth. The carnality in the church. He wept with tears of sorrow, knowing that Jesus Christ had come and died, and that the church was not totally sold out, but that the church was divided, and that the church was carnal in their motives, and they were not pure motives in serving God out of love. So Paul cried for them. He felt sorry for them. And then Paul, thirdly, wept more than ever before for the lost. For the lost, those that did not know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And how we need to be compassionate and to really have an urgency in our hearts before it's too late for our loved ones and our friends, for them to come to know Christ. Because what most people don't realize is that as long as your mother and father or grandfather or grandmother or uncle, aunt, whoever it may be, is alive, it's cool because then you can share with them. But the problem comes once a person dies, it's over. They either go to heaven or they go to hell. And we have a responsibility to cry and weep for the lost, even in our own community, in Diamond Bar, in Walnut, Chino Hills, Laverne, San Dimas, West Covina. I mean, the whole area, we need to weep. To weep in humility and ask God to pour out His love and His grace and His mercies and His Holy Spirit upon our church and our community for the lost. That's why we're here tonight, for the lost, so that God can touch people's hearts. That's what it's all about. It's not building our kingdoms. It's not anything about ourselves. It's about the Lord and about those that are lost in the kingdom of darkness that Satan is killing and taking them to hell himself. And so Paul was a servant, humble, and he wept for people. And then Paul the apostle, verse 20, notice what he says secondly in verse 20, now his ministry towards the church, and that is what? Teaching the word of God to the church. Because towards God was serving, but now towards the church is what? Serving not only the Lord, but now teaching the people of God to bring them to maturity. In verse 20, look what he says. And I want you to know how I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly from house to house. Notice that. Paul took the time at this particular time to go from house to house teaching them the word of God. Preaching is for the non-believer, teaching for the believer, those that have come to a personal knowledge of Jesus Christ. And that's why Paul, in the book of Ephesians, in chapter 4, 11 through 16, he talks about the purpose of the church, and he says that this is the reason that God has given us gifts. Some are called to be pastor teachers, some evangelists, you see. And some of us in the body of Christ in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13 and 14 gives to us the way the body is put together. Every member of the body is different, but God puts you where He needs you. You might be a little toe, always in darkness, hiding, pretty smelly. But yet God can use your life. You're a very important part of the body of Christ. Without that toe, you don't have balance. You see? And so it's important that you don't feel left out of the body of Christ, that you are part of the body of Christ. And how I thank God, how God is working through the body here. In our giving of our time, in our giving of our finances. Because the Lord is coming soon. And the only thing that is going to last is what you give and what you do for Christ, period. That's it. Nothing else. Nothing else is going to last when Jesus comes. And surely on that day we want to hear that Calvary Chapel, Golden Springs, surely was a giving body and a church that wanted to reach the world for Christ. That's what we want to be known for. That we love God and that we love the lost. And that we want to be taught the Word of God and we want to mature in God's Word so that we can go out and proclaim the gospel of truth to the people that are lost and are going to hell tonight. That is what God desires from each one of our hearts. And so Paul here, how I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly from house to house. Notice that the word of God was taught by Paul the apostle, just like we're doing it here tonight. Never was there any self-interest in Paul's life to gain anything for himself. Because there are teachers, you know, that are in it for the money. They're either for popularity. They're either for something they want from the people of God. But yet Paul says, I don't want anything from you. I never took anything from you.
When you gave, I took it and I used it to what? To bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ so that we could reach the lost for Christ. That's what it's all about. The lost for Christ. As we go out and we do the same just like Paul did here. And then in verse 21, his third step here is now his whole fourfold view is towards the lost now. Toward the lost here. And that is through evangelism you reach the lost. Not through teaching. But that's the importance of our crusades. Our radio ministries. Our going out into missions. You see? Reaching the world for Jesus Christ. And look what Paul says. Verse 21. Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks or the Gentiles. Repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. Two things. Repentance and faith. It's proclaimed to the lost. And what does it mean to repent? Well, the word metanoia in the Greek means a change of mind, a change of attitude, a change of purpose, a change of lifestyle. That's what repentance means. To change my ways. Whatever I may be doing tonight in my life that is not pleasing to the Lord, I need to repent. I need to change my heart. I need to change my attitude. I need to start serving Him and loving Him. God will forgive you. God will cleanse you. God will wash you the moment you come totally in humility and say, Lord, man, I got deviated from the truth. Here I am. I was messing up, but I want to come back, Lord, and I want you to use my life. And He will. He will use your life completely. And I think it's so beautiful how repentance is needed, not only in the non-believer, but how I myself need to repent in my own heart when I sin against God. Because we're not perfect people. But surely when we come to repentance, we can see the fruit of the Holy Spirit within our lives. Making sure that our hearts are clean before God. Remember what Isaiah the prophet said in Isaiah chapter 6, when he actually saw himself in the presence of God, he said, woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips. How we need to clean our lips in the presence of God. How we need to be holy in the presence of God as we humble ourselves before the presence of God and say, Lord, here am I, use my life. And God says, before I can use your life, we need to take care of your lips. Your lips are dirty. And Isaiah recognized that. And Isaiah prayed and God forgave him and God cleansed him and God anointed him and God used him and sent him to his people to proclaim the gospel of peace. And that's what it's all about. We are calling people to repentance and to faith in Jesus Christ, for people to put their trust and faith in Jesus Christ. That's all they have to do. It's not of works. Lest any man should boast, not making them legalistic and saying these are the rules. No, there are no rules. Faith in Jesus Christ, period. Nothing else. And then repentance comes when there's true faith. And when there's true faith in Jesus Christ, then the fruit of the Holy Spirit in my life will begin forth to do what? To examine not only, but to bring forth the works that God desires in my own personal life. But I have to be willing to repent, willing to believe in Jesus Christ as my own personal Lord and Savior. And then look at finally in verse 22 here, the fourthfold is now towards himself, and that is the ministry of what? Of sacrifice. Sacrifice in my life. Commitment. Verse 22. And see now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen unto me. Paul says, you know what, you guys? I don't know if I'll ever see you again, but I know one thing, that the Spirit is warning me that the end of my life is coming soon. But I want you to know this, I am committed to Jesus Christ. You know what else? I am committed to you, because I love you. That's what Paul is sharing in his heart. The Spirit is speaking to my heart. I'm going bound, notice, not by Satan or by any man. I am bound by the Holy Spirit to go to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen unto me. Why? Because Paul knew that the Holy Spirit was going to lead him and guide him into all truth. And that's the same way with us. Who shall I fear? I fear no one but God.
You never know when it's going to be your last trip. Never know when it's going to be your last sermon. You never know when it's going to be your last day with your family or friends or going to work or going to school, whatever it may be. We have to be ready. And we have to be willing to serve the Lord at any capacity. And how do we do it? Sacrificially for the Lord. Sacrificially. Out of obedient heart. Out of love, we serve the Lord. And that's why Paul could say, look, man, I'm going bound by the Spirit of God, and I don't know what's going to happen, but I know that God loves me, and I love God, and God's going to take care of it completely. I'm not worrying about it. Not worrying about anything that's going to happen. And then verse 23, I love it. Look at Paul's submission here. He says, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city saying that chains and tribulations await me. Would you go if you knew that? Think about it. The Holy Spirit is saying, Paul, if you go, you're going to be put in chains. They're going to beat you. They're going to prosecute you. And they're going to tell you to deny Jesus Christ. And you're going to be crying. And you're going to be suffering. And you're going to be bummed out. And Paul, do you still want to go? I mean, would you want to go if you knew all these things were going to happen to you? You would have to think about it. To say to your wife or to say to your children, hey, I'll see you in heaven. I'm not coming back. Why? Because the Holy Spirit already told me I'm going to be in prison, I'm going to be beaten, and I'm going to die. Paul knew. Paul was in tune with the Holy Spirit. Paul was in submission to the Holy Spirit. Notice, he laid down his life for Christ to the Holy Spirit. That's how we need to live like Paul. What a great example we have in Paul the Apostle. That Jesus Christ ruled over his life. He says, I know that there are going to be tribulations, but also there are going to be chains that are awaiting me. As I leave you guys here, you won't see me again. But you're going to hear that I've been arrested, and I'm being tried, and I'm being beaten. And then you're going to hear that my head has come off. But I want you to know one thing. I never denied the Lord Jesus Christ. Look what he says. So neat, man. Verse 24. But none of these things move me. Underline that. But none of these things move me. Nor do I count my life dear to myself. Why? So that I may finish my race with joy. Hey, you guys, we're in a race. A race that we're running. Everybody loves to run in a race, but not everybody trains for that race, and not everybody finishes the race. There's a lot of people that jump into a race so they get publicity and say, I ran in this marathon of the New York City. But they never really ran. They got a t-shirt, but never ran. They just wanted to appear as they ran. And when I read these words, it touches my heart. Because I feel like Paul. I feel that, Lord, whatever happens, my attitude has to be like Paul the Apostle. And the only reason that Paul says, I'm saying this thing to you, is because none of these things move me, because I am running in a race that I'm going to finish. And in this race, it's not a race that is a bummer, but it's a race that brings joy to my heart. To my heart. He says, because the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus Christ is to testify to you of the grace of God. Of the grace of God. How we need the grace of God in our lives. Because we're so sinful and so selfish. We deserve hell, and yet God gives us heaven. To me, that's amazing. That God would help me, that God would help you and us to be like Paul. to be totally 150% sold out to Jesus Christ for the gospel. That I testify to you, the grace of God, the unmerited favor that has been given to you and to me freely by the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I'm giving to you so that I can finish well. To me, it's amazing how many people are not going to finish well. And the reason is because of pride and because they're not willing to let go of their sin. And yet Paul challenged me on this trip that I want to be a man of integrity. I want to be a man of commitment. I want nothing to keep me from finishing well this race that is set before me. And you know what? The moment I commit my life to the Lord like that, immediately Satan comes and begins to harass me and begins to beat up on me. But I know that he who is in me is greater than he that is of the world. And I have to trust in the word of God by faith that God is going to do it as I put my trust and faith in him. And I want you to know that I pray for you every day. I don't know anybody by name a lot of times, but I pray for this congregation daily that God will give us missionaries out of this church. That God will bless us financially in such a way that we can go and give the gospel to the whole world. Not for ourselves, but for him, because of the love that he has for us. He gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. He gave his life for you and me. And all he wants us to do is just to give ourselves to him so that we can have that personal relationship with him and we can have that attitude that none of these things ever move me and neither do I count my life dear unto myself for one purpose, so that I may finish my race with joy. With joy. Listen to Paul's words right before his head came off in 2 Timothy chapter 4. The same thing he's saying here. 2 Timothy chapter 4. He says, beginning with verse 6, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day." And check this out. "And not to me only, but also to Calvary Chapel Golden Spring, to all those who are loved, his appearing." That's us. Every one of us that are here tonight. We will receive that crown that God is going to give to each one of us individually if we continue to be persistent in the race. We have to work together as a team. And if you know of any people in the church here that have actually fallen out and they're backslidden, men, we need to have the compassion and the heart to go to them and to bring them back to the Lord, because the time is short. We need to be a family in the kingdom of God. We need to love one another. We need to care for one another. We need to pray for one another, because we count our life as nothing, so that we can finish the course that God has given to each one of us individually, so that we can receive the grace of God in our own lives. And then check this out, verse 25. Paul shares now with them that they will be the last to see him. He says, "And indeed, now I know that among you all whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God will see my face no more." He knew. God showed him he was going to die. You know what a sad thing it is, but yet what a pleasant thing it is, what a joyful thing it is, saying, "You guys, I'm going to be with the Lord soon." It's a joy that one day we're going to be in the presence of the Lord, and all of us one day will meet there, some sooner than others. And yet Paul's heart is being poured out to them. Verse 26, look at his declaration. "Therefore, I testify to you this day, that I am," and underline this, "I am innocent of the blood of all men." Notice what he says.
responsibility, accountability to those that are lost. Why? Because I have not failed to declare to you the whole counsel of God. That is, Paul was faithful to preach to them the whole Bible. The whole Bible. The whole mind of God. Just like we do here at Calvary Chapel. And I want to make sure that in time to come, as the Lord tarries, and one day, you know, maybe I'll be whatever God has for me, I can stand up and say to you and make that proclamation even tonight, because I've already done it once, that I have not failed to give to you the whole counsel of God. If I was to die tonight, I know that I have given to you the full counsel of God. And I thank God for you that we can say that. And Paul is saying, you guys, be accountable to the counsel of God. And then he says this, this is so beautiful. Verse 28, therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. And this is to the leadership of the church. Notice, he says, now you guys that are leaders, the elders, the deacons, the pastors, know one thing, the church is not yours. The church belongs to Jesus Christ, but Jesus Christ has made you watchmen, overseers, watching out for the people of God, taking care of the people of God. This is why. Listen what he says. Among you which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. That is to feed the flock of God. How do you do that? By the teaching of the word of God. Feeding the word of God. The charge of God that he gives here to Paul and to each shepherd and each leadership of the church. That is, there are those people that fleece the flock of God, but he's saying, I want you to feed the flock of God, to give to them the word of God. Tell them about my grace, my love, and my mercies. And I want you to tell them, when you teach them, that the church of Jesus Christ doesn't belong to man. It was paid by a full price through the blood of Jesus Christ. He paid your debt, my debt, through his blood. We have to be so thankful to God for his son, Jesus Christ, by sending his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, to die for you. And one little drop of the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed me and washed away every one of my sins, past, present, and future. Imagine that. The power of the blood of Jesus Christ. And then he said, verse 29, for I know this, the warning now, that after my departure, what's going to happen, Paul? Savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Now, I would expect it from people from coming from the outside and trying to destroy the church of Jesus Christ. But what saddens my heart is verse 30. He says, also from among yourselves, men that are selfish, self-willed, they don't have the Spirit of God. What will they do? They will rise up speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after themselves. You see? They're going to spray lies about the pastors, about the leaders of the church, about the congregation. They're going to try to come in and divide it and separate it and start their own little fellowship somewhere else. And who are they going to attack? Not the ones that are rooted and grounded in God's word. They're going to go after the new believers. Those that are new, they're naive. They're novice. They're just starting in their faith. They don't go to those that are rooted and grounded. Why? Because they would know better than that. They'd probably get beat up if they came to us. Because you would spot a wolf. But they go with simple words. And Paul really, in Romans 16, 17, 18, man, read that verse. It will blow you away. He warns and he says, you guys be careful of these that come and they're trying to destroy the flock of God. Listen to Paul in chapter 16. As he's finishing the book of Romans, he warns them there too. He says, and now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For those who are such are not serving the Lord Jesus Christ, but their own bellies, by their own appetites, and by smooth words and flattering speeches deceive the hearts of the simple through Calvinism, through Arminianism, through all the stupid philosophies that have been fought for many, many years in the church. And they come with their false humility and false philosophies. And what do? They try to pull people out of the body of Christ and put them out of liberty into bondage once again. And Paul says, be careful of those people. They're among you. They're in the church. They're not just outside of the church. They're in the church. And then verse 31, he says to them, therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn every one of you night and day with tears. There it is again. Paul is crying. Tears. Knowing what was going to happen and that some of them would be taken captive by the enemy. But you see the heart of a shepherd, the heart for his sheep, that's Paul. That's Paul the apostle. And then in verse 32, now he gives Paul's example, his personal example to them. And so now you guys, I commend you to God, I love that, and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified or saved. You see how beautiful that is? I commend you to the Lord. I can't be here, but the Lord is with you. I'm commending you to the Lord. And God is going to make you grow through the word of God, because you have an inheritance among those who are saved. Verse 33, I love this. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or dress. Hey, I never fleece the flock of God. I like that. Paul fed the flock of God. He never took people for a ride. Never, ever asked from anybody anything. The people gave to Paul, because they love the Paul. And Paul used that money for the ministry of Jesus Christ. Yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who were with me. Paul got a job and he worked from 8 o'clock in the morning till 11 o'clock in the morning, actually making tents. He was a tent maker. And from 11 o'clock in the morning till 4 o'clock in the afternoon, he preached and he taught the word of God. Imagine that. What an example Paul is to the kingdom of God. He says, God takes care of my necessities and I work with my own hands, you know, to provide for my needs. And then he says this, I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the only place in the Bible you will find this. You won't find it ever again in the New Testament, only here. And it says this, that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Notice the challenge that Paul makes here. It's not just giving because you have it, but it's more blessed to give than to constantly be receiving. It's a joy to give to the work of the Lord. There are people that only want to receive and they want to take. But how blessed it is when you have it or you don't have it, and you give sacrificially to the Lord, and you give it out of your heart, and then God will bless you for it. That's why we don't take people's money, we receive the offering. Why? Because we don't take anything from anybody. We receive it so that we can use it for ministry. You don't take, you receive. It is more blessed to give than to receive, as Paul says here. And what does he say? It's not that I want it for myself. Verse 36. And when he had said these things, what did he do? He knelt down and he prayed with them all. Can you imagine what a picture that would be? A portrait of the sea in the Mediterranean and all these guys on their knees and Paul sitting there and he's praying for them. That's the picture of Paul as he's leaving them now. And then they all wept freely. They all wept. And they fell on Paul's neck and they kissed him. You think they loved each other? You bet. The love of Christ for one another. How we need to fall on one another's necks and weep and cry with each other. And really care for each other and really pray for each other as we stand together. Now, it doesn't mean you guys should go around kissing the girls, okay? That's not what Paul's saying. Remember, these are the brothers. They're kissing each other. On the cheek, of course. That was the kiss of love. You come up to me and say, I'm going to kiss someone. You're like, no, you're not going to kiss me. Kiss my cheek. That's it. But notice the affection and the love they had for each other. And then check this out. This is so incredible. Sorrowing most of all, why? For the words which Paul spoke, that they would see his face no more. And they accompanied him to the ship. Can you imagine as they went to the ship and then the ship, you know, started going out to sea. They stood there and he could see them off on the shore. And they got more distant and they got littler and littler. And finally they couldn't see Paul anymore and he couldn't see them. They were probably weeping the whole time. The love of Christ. Father, we come before you, Lord Jesus, to thank you so much for your love, for your grace, for your mercies, for your people, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for your people. Thank you for this church, Lord God. Thank you for all the churches surrounding us, Lord. And Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would continue to move in us. And Lord, I pray by the power of the Holy Spirit tonight, Lord God, not just an emotional service, Father, but a real move of your Holy Spirit upon each one of our hearts and minds, Lord. Father, that you would just bless this place financially, spiritually, God, in every way so that we can reach the world for Christ Jesus. Lord God, touch your people. Touch me, Lord. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercies. And Lord, I pray for those that are here tonight that are weak and sick or are going through great trials and temptations, Father. Lord, I pray that you touch them, that you anoint them, Lord. Father, we pray for Sunday morning, the people that come on Sunday mornings. Father, we pray that you would bring revival to our hearts. And Lord God, that you would provide in every way so that, Father, we don't even have to tell people. We can say like Moses, stop giving because we have so much, Lord. Father, that you would do that so that we can take the gospel to the four corners of the earth and proclaim your name. Father, we love you. We praise you. We honor you, Jesus.